103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Ooh, 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. And this week we do have Peter Donegan back. More of him in a moment. We're brought to you in association with Greensack's compostable bags for home and garden. On 103.2, this is Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. And this week, it's like Christmas Eve on The Sod Show for gardeners because it's the eve of the Bloom Festival. Peter took his microphones down to the Phoenix Park and talks to the man in charge, Gary Graham.
Bloom 2013, you have only a matter of days to go. Is it next week? I think it kicks off on the Thursday, so we are about 6 days. We're almost Christmas Eve in the Sod Show terms. I'm sitting in the middle of one of the marquees with my feet on the grass and my backside on a sheet of timber. And right alongside me in the same eloquent seating is Gary Graham. Gary, how are you?
Well, good, Peter. Good. Happy to be here talking to you one more year.
For those who don't know you and those listening in podcast outside of Ireland, it's been a year approximately since we spoke on the record. What's your title? What's your background? Why are we sitting here?
Well, people call me, as you know, they call me Mr. Bloom, just for simplicity, since I suppose I was the kind of the public face, I guess, of this initiative from the get-go back in 2005, 2006, when we said it's about time this country had a proper show. And thankfully, my boss and the guys in Board B said, yeah, let's do it, and got behind it. And here we are, 6 years later. This is year seven. We're right in the middle of the build now. Like we're well on the way here. Everything is shaping up very well. People who've been to the show over the years know the setup. They know that we have this fantastic backdrop here in the park, as you just referred to, next door to the Aris. Sometimes we forget over the winter how lucky we are to have this location. But once we get up here and we get going and the trees start coming into leaf, you realise that it really is the ideal place for the Bloom Show.
For those of you outside of Ireland, Gary did refer to the Phoenix Park slap bang in the heart of Dublin. The competition itself, is it a competition? Is it a weekend? For those who have never been to Bloom before, you might be just coming to Ireland on your holidays. Can you explain it in a little bit?
Sure, no problem, Peter. I suppose the easiest way to describe Bloom is the Irish version of the Chelsea Flower Show. Now, I actually see it as being more like the Hampton Court Flower Show. In other words, what we do is we start in a green field situation, in this situation, a very attractive green field with some lovely, you know, heritage landscaping and planting around us. But we start off from scratch every year and we build what, in other words, might be a festival, because it's temporary structures, it's marquees, it's a whole village we build up here. But very much at the centre of that are a series of show gardens, different shapes, different sizes, different budgets. But what we're trying to do is to educate and inspire people about gardening, about garden design, about plants, about what can be achieved. And we don't go, we're not aimed solely at the sort of the hardcore anoraks, people who are the plant lovers, if you like. It's very much aimed at the family. It's aimed at the non-gardeners, the reluctant gardeners, if you like, the guys who get dragged out to cut the grass and so on. Because what we want to do is to get people along here and, as I said, get them inspired. So we do it in such a way that it's very family friendly. It's, you know, it's free kids, all that kind of stuff. There's lots of other fun and entertainment stuff here as well. It's not just plants and flowers and gardens. And then, of course, because we're Board Bia, we're not a horticultural society as such. We are Board Bia, so our role is much broader than horticulture. We're looking after food and drink as well. So we also use the opportunity to bring the best of Irish food. So we have a huge food market with 60-odd artisan food companies, all the best meat, fish, artisan beer guys. They're all here as well. We also bring in the likes of the Craft Council. And that, I think that's a point worth making. What we're trying to do here is I suppose, kind of create a meet-the-maker type opportunity. So whether it's a grower, a designer, a horticulturist, a nursery person, an artisan food producer, a craftsman or craftswoman, it's very much about getting up close, getting educated, getting inspired, meeting the people, seeing how things are done, how they're made, getting ideas that you can bring home and make your own life and garden better.
One of the things you had in the lead up to the show, and I know the winner will be announced probably when people walk through the gates of the Bloom when it opens, June Bank Holiday weekend, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday, but it was the Super Garden television programme. The background behind that is that you don't need to have a qualification in horticulture to build a garden number one on television, to be judged by yourself and Paddy Gleeson, formerly of Chagas, now with Woody's, who are heavily involved, I know, in Bloom and have been for a number of years. Do you have your critics for number one coming up with that concept as a programme? And number two, the fact that you've got a newbie to the gardening industry is now inside competing with the best of the best, and some of them over the years have won medals.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. And we had that same dilemma, if you like, when we started planning the first Bloom show here. We had that was a fundamental question we had to look at. How do you decide, what criteria do you use before you allow someone to come in here and design a garden? And likewise with the TV series, what criteria do you use? Now, in the Bloom situation, I decided in year one, after, you know, widespread consultation, I decided that we would not decide, oh, you have to be, let's say, a member of the ALCI, who you would know, or a member of the Garden Landscape Designers Association, or a member of the Institute of Landscape, and so on. And we decided straight away, because while they are all very important organisations and do great work, and we have to have standards and people have to be recognised for what they're capable of doing, it was very clear to me that some of our best gardeners in this country are not necessarily trained or skilled in any way. They might have come from a creative background or a financial background or an IT background, and they are amazing at what they do. So what we decided in the Bloom situation was that we would set up our own panel of experts, of judges, and they are top-class people. And we go through an assessment process, and everyone has to, as you know yourself, Peter, you've done it, everyone has to put forward their plans, their ideas, their detailed drawings, their budgeting, and so on. And we take them through a process before they ever get to build a garden here. And that applies to everyone, no matter how good you are, no matter how skilled you are, no matter what training you have. Now, so go back then to Supergarden. We had a similar question that we had to look at Supergarden. And in the first year, and maybe in the second year, the view was, okay, well, this should be for amateurs. This is not about the trained people. And we had a lot of people who were completely, they might have been passionate about gardening, but they had no formal training coming on the show and doing a good job, doing a very good job. But what has happened over the years is quite interesting, is that each year we've seen that the people who are coming on board are more experienced and more training, because they can see, I guess, what's expected of them. So we have less amateurs applying and we have more skilled, trained people. So this year, four of the five contestants have a training, a qualification in landscaping or garden design. Two of them are actually landscape architects. Now, what they haven't done is build a garden at Bloom. They've never built a garden at Bloom. And as you know, building a show garden is very, very different from building a garden in the real world. We're into theatre, we're into drama, we're into getting everything perfect for 5 days of the show. It's not like building a garden in the real world. And that is now the only criteria we use. So it's interesting that you should ask that question, because it has naturally evolved, if you like, over the... This is our seventh year at Bloom. We've done 5 years of the Supergarden program, but it has now evolved into a very different program. And you can see that, and I see it every year when we're judging the gardens. The standard has got higher and higher, because the level of the applicant, if you like, who's going into that, has got higher and higher. And what you will see this year, I don't want to give anything away, but you will see that those people who have those skills and that training are coming to the fore, and that's where our winner is likely to come from.
One of the questions that came on, and I've been here before, I've touched on it before, I've done two gardens at Bloom, as most of you would know, listen to the show. One received medal, one didn't receive medal. Again, and just to backtrack on this, for those who come through the door, we have, what is it, 30 show gardens this year?
We have 28 gardens this year. We generally try not just to focus on the number because we have different sizes and shapes. We actually have a bigger show garden area than we've ever had. We actually have more show garden space, if you like, because we have more larger gardens. Larger gardens are typically, as you know, about 200 square meters, 10 by 10 by 20 meters. They require a lot of time and a lot of budget to make happen. We have more of them this year. We have more larger what we call concept spaces, where the kind of thing that would suit you perfectly, Peter, where it doesn't actually have to function as a garden, but is way out there, wacky, inspirational, creative, you know, pushing the boundaries out. We have more of them this year, which is great, because we, as I said, we are in show business here. We're in the entertainment business. We want to give people new ideas. I often refer to it being the catwalk. It might not be the type of thing that you'd wear on a day going to work or going to the office. It's the catwalk is where we want to push the boundaries out, as I said. So this year we have 28 gardens, a mix of all shapes and sizes, budgets, but more larger gardens. So the show is actually bigger this year in terms of the show gardens, which is great.
But just to explain to those at home who come through the gates, you pay your, I assume, somewhere between 15, 20 quid. Details is, by the way, up on bloominthepark.com or at bloominthepark on Twitter, and you'll also find them on Facebook. Go check it out, and there are various concessions up there for ticket prices and weekends and family passes as well. We'll get to that in a minute. But for those who come through the gates, if a garden has not received a medal, it's not because it's a bad garden. It's not because they did a bad job. It's not because, you know, everything was horticulturally incorrect. Are there a few reasons why, generally speaking? And again, I know I'm referring to myself in this, slapping myself in the back of the head, and then also saying, well, I also did win medals. So, but, you know, emotionally, you might say I've experienced both sides of it. But I have always said when you come through the gates, you should applaud every single one of them for going there, going through the strain, the pain, the emotional gain, all of those things that go with it.
Yeah, I absolutely concur with that. It's not just about medals, and it should never be about medals, because people design and build gardens for different things. For some people, they're into art and installations, and they want to work in public spaces. That's what they want to do. They're not really interested in promoting themselves as a domestic garden designer. So they're doing something very different here. There are people who are here because they're doing something because they have an interest in a charity or a not-for-profit, and they're working with that organisation, and they're doing a really important job of raising awareness. And we always have four or five or six of those kind of gardens. This year, I think we have five of them, which is fantastic, because when you see, and you know, the effort, the blood, sweat and tears that goes into these gardens here, it's great to see them used for that sort of a purpose. It could be something very heavy, very serious, a major social issue. It could be about starvation in Africa. It could be something, you know, a serious disease, cystic fibrosis. I mean, we've had them all here. We've got some of them back here again this year. But in a garden, you can do things and you can communicate things and you can create a feeling and an atmosphere, and you could do stuff that you could never do on print or verbal. You can do so much more. So those gardens are not, okay, some of them might do well, they might get medals, but that's not what they're here. Why they're here. That's not why they're here at all. In terms of going back to your question about, you know, you walk up and you see this garden and you go, wow, fantastic, amazing, I love it. Why isn't it a gold medal winner? Why hasn't that got a top award? Typically, it's about the design brief, because unlike the visitor who walks up and says, you know, I like that, and it's a very subjective, you know, experience. You know, say, I like this, I like that, I want that. Perfect, absolutely. They should have it, you know. Go commission that designer, or go steal the ideas, whatever. Go for it. But in terms of the judging, what the judges judge on is the original brief. So they're not looking at the garden and going, oh yeah, I love this, I love that, I like that. They're trying to take all that subjectivity out of it. What they're doing is they're going back and looking at what did the designer originally say he or she were going to do? What does it say on the tin, if you like? And if that doesn't match, the designer's in trouble, and that's usually where there's a problem. 99% of people walking through here do not need to concern themselves with those issues. We want them here to be inspired, as I said. We want them to be educated. We want them to take ideas home. We want all those novice gardeners and reluctant gardeners to come on board and see all the joys and benefits of gardening and good garden design and you know, having great plants in your life. And that's what it's about. So I don't get hung up on the medals at all.
Wow, lot for you to take in there. Brian, back in the studio. Baba O'Reilly by The Who. I don't think that was ever number one. I still like it. I'm going to go for a quick cup of coffee, warm my tush up, and we will talk to you in the next few minutes.
As Peter and Gary warm up, let's have a listen to The Who and Baba O'Reilly. It's The Sod Show, and if you want to get in touch, on Twitter, @Sod Show, on the web, www.sudshow.com.
Thanks for that, Brian. And back to part two of the Sod Show. We are just six approximate days before you walk through the gates of the Phoenix Park. That's June Bank Holiday weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. bloominthepark.com for further information, or at bloominthepark on Twitter. Go say hi and tell them you're listening in. Still in my company is Gary Graham, Mr. Bloom, as you may be known to some of you. Also, you're still employed by Bord Bia, aren't you?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, they don't see too much of me because I spend most of my life in the park these days. Yeah, but someone is giving me a check every so often, so I'm assuming it's Bord Bia. Yeah.
Gary, one of the things that I suppose is behind the scenes, and this isn't to, how would you say, get into the usual Late Late Show type name dropping thing, but garden costs for, let's say, building, how much, and you would know this from seeing 30, 40, 50, 60, maybe more submissions come in, then narrowing it down to approximately 28. From my own experience, I funded two of them off my own bat. They were two of the 20x10s. I know Mark O'Loughlin, who we had recently on the show, he took a break, he was wise, and then came back and decided to fund himself again. And as we discussed a little bit earlier off mic, there is a bit where it's not all about financial gain, medals and the whole lot. It's very silly from the heart sometimes, passion that makes you go out and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and wondering what plant you're going to choose for that space and how you're going to fit it in, and picturing it in your head and your other better half wondering why you're not actually sleeping at night and you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning nearly waiting for them to open the gates of the park. There's a lot of that, and it's a lot of money again behind the scenes, and you alluded to it on the judging. Can you give people just a gist of how much time, I suppose, number one, and money, number two, the main factors for doing almost anything, well, a lot of things in life, not for me, would go into a small, a medium, and let's say a large show garden?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Like you make an interesting point there about the sort of passion that is required. It's you might even call it lunacy. There is a little bit of that required, because what people have to remember is that if you're building a garden for someone, small garden, big budget, small budget, it's a private situation, and you've got a client, and you should be able to keep that client happy and look after them. And they'll have some neighbours, and they'll have some friends and people that will comment. But, you know, you should be able to do it. If it goes wrong and you make a bit of a mistake, you know, you might be able to correct it, but it's, you know, you'll find a way out, and you'll get it sorted. But you don't have 80, 90, 100,000 people walking past, pointing the finger, saying, well, why is this done that way and why isn't that finished? Or you don't have the TV cameras, you don't have the photographers, you don't have all that attention. So it's not for the faint-hearted. It's absolutely not for the faint-hearted. And I know some of my friends who were in college with me in Botanic Gardens, fantastic garden designers, very skilled, very able people, very successful. And they wouldn't think twice about coming in here and doing what others do because they just wouldn't have the Lee Rody, as someone might say. They just wouldn't have it. They just would not have it. And I don't fault them for that. That's not a criticism. It is not for everyone. This is show business. You're getting out in front of an audience. You're trying to do something different or brave. You're taking a huge chance. You're putting your reputation on the line. You know, as you said yourself, money is an absolute nightmare these days. Getting the finance together hasn't been easy for the last number of years. So if you want to do a large garden, as you have done, and you want to bring, you know, plants, you want to bring, you know, hard elements, hard landscaping, construction, structures, all sorts of stuff to water features and so on. You either you've got a huge amount of experience and knowledge and contacts who people and the people will lend you stuff and help you to make it happen. You do a certain amount of product placement. Either you do that or you do some combination where you have that and you also have a sponsor or two sponsors who are giving you some money to actually fund the labor and the things that you cannot get for nothing. That there'll always be costs, so it's not easy, and as I said, it hasn't got easier. But what's great in the current climate, when money is so hard to come by, is that the creativity levels have gone through the roof, because it's not about money. If you go to the, and I don't want to knock the Chelsea Flower Show, I'm a huge fan of what they do, but you will not build a large garden in the Chelsea Flower Show for less than £250,000. Large, you'd need to have that kind of money to be at the races. If you want to be in a large garden, Chelsea Flower Show, that's what you're looking at. And some of them are spending £300,000, £400,000, £500,000, you know. In our situation here, we don't have that kind of money, nor anything like it. And people have to be very clever, very creative, and they have to be very cooperative. They need to work with other people in the supply chain. They need to knock the heads against, like, guys, listen, we're all in this industry together. The weather's not great. That's putting people off going outside. The economy's not good. People are spending less. What can we do together to create an impact? What can we do to get people excited about what we have on offer for them? So that's what's happening. And we're seeing more and more of that every year. So it's, as I said, it's not easy, but if we had kept going the way we started in 07 and 08 before we hit the economic cliff, you know, I won't use the R word, but if we had kept going, it would not have been sustainable, because this is Dublin, this is Ireland, this is not the Chelsea Flower Show, this is not the middle of London, it's not, you know, it's a very different situation. So it has to be about creativity, cooperation, but as I said, that little bit of lunacy.
The answer somewhere in between all of that, folks, is when you do come through the gates, medal or not, whether you like it or not, whether you know you're allowed to criticise those people who get to number one and Top of the Pops or the UK charts that are not Baba O'Reilly and The Who, and maybe they are Justin Bieber's, and maybe you should clatter them around the back of the ears and tell them to go back to bed. But at the same token, when it comes to gardens and creativity, sure, you are allowed to not, or to prefer one over the other, if you get where I'm coming from. But you should really applaud the designer and the people behind them who managed to put it all together. You may also have heard Gary refer to the word Lee Rody for those of you outside of Ireland. I suppose another word for that is kahunas or balls, and you definitely need big ones to make it here. We're allowed to say that in there, aren't we, Brian? Two other matters, Gary, again, bloominthepark.com if people want to come across or want to check out tickets and prices and all those deals that may be on. Outside of the gardens, you did note that it was a family event. I've had pictures of the huge marquee where the music goes on with magicians on and people with ice cream cones and people getting slightly red and white, patchy countryside Irish tanned legs while they're outside having picnics. And equally, like you said, on the other hand, you have the only the very, very best of Irish food. I know the people from Old Farm will be here, Brigitte from Burn Salmon, who supplied the salmon to the Queen's dinner when she was causing mayhem over here alongside Barack Obama in 2011 during Bloom Bill times, and she was more than welcome to be here as well. But I mean, the food, the beer, the wine, the family day out, it is that good and worthwhile to come to. It's a full day event, really.
Yeah, it is. We do major visitor surveys every year to look at, you know, what's good or what can we improve and where people spend their time. And what we're seeing now is that people are spending a full day here. Some people are saying, I want to come back the next day. I didn't get to spend enough time looking at gardens or whatever. And that's great. It's great to hear that. If the weather is kind to us, you will spend even longer. And we nearly have to kind of kick people out the gate at the end of the day. Nobody wants to go home. And part of that, as I said earlier, is the backdrop. It is a beautiful setting. And the fact that it's a festival, you know, there's no permanent infrastructure here. It's here for 5 days and then it's gone. So there's that whole novelty factor as well. In terms of the family friendliness, it's hugely important to what we do here. There are still a lot of people in this country that don't get gardening, they don't get plants. They still have to be introduced. We still have to drag them outside and show them how important and how it can make their lives better. So we never want it to be an elitist, an exclusive thing, purely aimed at the people who can talk, you know, spout Latin all day, the plant names and so on. That's not what Bloom is about, and it never will be. So long as I'm involved with it. So from year one, we decided, okay, what are we going to do for kids? We've got to get them in for free for start. We've got to make it affordable. We've got to have, you know, food that's affordable here as well. If you're spending all day here, you want to eat. As I said, I work with Bord Beer, so it has to be the best of food, the best of Irish food. It has to be affordable, as I said. And then when you're here, you're not going to spend all day looking at gardens. So that's why we talk to the likes of the Craft Council, why we have a huge children's area as well, with all sorts of fun, interactive, engaging stuff. We're not talking bouncing castles and face painting and stuff like that. I'm talking about stuff that really engages with kids. So they'll be making stuff, they'll be doing stuff, they'll be learning stuff. We even have climbing, tree climbing for kids, using the specialist tree surgeon guys that you and I would know, Peter. So we can actually get kids up heights as well. We've all sorts of fun stuff aimed at kids. For the grown-ups who aren't, you know, totally into plants and gardenings and so on, they can sit in our food village all day. They'll be very happy dining, eating and drinking over there. Some of the top companies, and you mentioned some of them there, like our president next door is our patron. He's in, our Taoiseach is in, all those people are coming in. So whether it's them coming in or the punter coming in, we're going to make sure that we don't waste the opportunity to show the best of what this country has to offer. So it's all there.
Ladies and gentlemen, from a middle of mayhem, yet slightly quiet, you would have heard some of the hustle and bustle in the background. It is one of the finest things to happen to Irish horticulture and Irish food and Irish farming, which do come here, do enjoy. And I think we are at Sod Show on Twitter. You've got about 6 days to let us know if you're going to be around and what days. Hit us up, and we look forward to having a cup of coffee with you from the Phoenix Park. I'm going to get out of here somehow or another, and I think Gary's heading off to Mayhem Land, and we'll see you when it's nice and calm and pretty and flowering and bees and beautiful. And speaking of more things, bees, Brian, it's back to you in the studio.
I know what you're saying, Peter. You're saying I'm the biz, aren't you? I'm Buzz Biz. We'll be in Bloom next weekend with our microphones for the Sod Show. With thanks to our sponsor, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is the Sod Show. Catch you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
He said he didn't even hear trains, let alone the few words the ladies may be saying about him. She freaks and tells her closest friend that she never loved again, but she never known I ever live without him. Wouldn't believe. If you see it. So he threw a hissy fit and he took it out, and anyone around him wouldn't believe it. Oh, 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 if you see it.
starts a fight and he lands himself a night in a cell. Well, weight pants and bruises, 12 mates banging on the door. Oh, the back of Pennsylvania, I never saw such a street fight.